From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Prior to the pandemic, the kind of homeless shelters and overall shelter availability really depended on zip code. Some cities and towns had the resources to invest in homeless shelters, others didn't. When the pandemic hit, however, the entire state needed to universally address the issue of shelter beds. And while money from the federal government became available and many shelter beds were created, the overall coordination of the statewide shelter system was a hodgepodge of management and resources. Today on the show, you'll hear from Oregon Representative Pam Marsh, who has introduced legislation to provide more state coordination and cooperation related to homeless shelters. Indeed, the issue of homelessness is arguably the top challenge in our state, and the state feels that it's high time it takes an even more active role. The challenge of homelessness in Oregon has many causes. One of them is simply math. The overall equation of the number of people who need a shelter bed versus the amount of available beds doesn't work. And some cities and counties in Oregon have more available beds than others. It's a patchwork of effort and resources. Today on the show, Pam Marsh, a representative from Ashland, has a new bill before the legislature to create a more uniform system of shelter coordination throughout the state to provide more beds to more people in need. We talk with her now. Oregon Representative Pam Marsh, a Democrat from Ashland. Thanks so much for coming on and talking with us.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Why don't you give our listeners kind of the 30,000-foot view of House Bill 3644, this plan to create a sort of a statewide shelter program?
I'm happy to do that. So to understand the bill, you have to take a few steps a few years back.
Okay.
In 2019, pre-pandemic, the state was doing very little on the shelter front. I remember Governor Brown once announcing that she wanted to spend $5 million on shelter systems, and it seemed like a huge investment. We were putting some money into safety net services, but we really weren't supporting shelter. And as a result, the communities that had shelters were those where there was particular leadership and a source of funding, because they were really out there on their own doing it. Then a couple things happened. Number one, we had a pandemic, which really drove the number of people on our streets. In some communities, including mine, and certainly in Lane County, we had wildfires that destroyed statewide 4,000 homes, also adding to the number of unhoused or perilously housed people in our communities. And the other thing that happened was we had some money, because we had federal money coming into communities, and we had cities that were really anxious to have partnerships. So the state started investing in the shelter system in about 2020. The first big investment was Project Turnkey, which over time put about $125 million into the development of 32 facilities statewide. Those are facilities that are locally owned, locally operated, and that serve whatever specific slice of the homeless or perilously housed population that are at issue within those communities. So that was an enormous breakthrough. And then we set up navigation centers as well. And then, of course, a couple of years ago, we had Governor Kotek's emergency order. And in 2023, the state legislature early in the session put a significant investment into the development of still more shelter beds. So we got to last summer and we looked around and we said, whoa, we've done a tremendous amount of work. We've completely changed the state's role in the shelter system, but we'd done it in a very opportunistic way. We'd done it when we had money. As a result, when you looked across the realm of projects that we'd funded, there was a lot of difference among them in terms of where the money came from, what exactly we were willing to fund, what kind of outcomes we were looking for. So last summer we said, all right, the state now, it's very clear to us, at least for the longer term future here, the state has a role in shelter. We've proved that over the last 4 years, but we need to bring some rigor to our shelter system. We need to define what the state's role is, and we need to talk about what it is that we should be funding, how we should fund it, that is, how money should get to communities, and what kind of outcomes we're looking for. So all of that is the long lead up to say that's what the bill is about, is really putting into statute what the state shelter program is or okay. should be.
Okay. So if I'm hearing you right, it's sort of the state funds it, but then it would have sort of local control. Local shelters would sort of manage themselves. Or is there a role in sort of setting up standards and practices at the state level that they would adhere to?
Well, it's sort of something in the middle of what we're proposing.
Okay.
When we sat down, we had a large group work group of close to 30 people who took up this task last summer to say, what should the state shelter system look like going forward? We had shelter operators, we had community action agencies, we had local government, we had advocates. We tried to have people across the diversity of stakeholders so that we would get good input. And when we looked at how different local communities are in terms of who they see as the primary target population, how those shelters look, what kinds of requirements they have, we realized that we really needed to build a system that was responsible to local needs. So we have proposed in the legislation some broad outlines of what we think the state should be willing to fund. And then we have articulated what will be a regional system for doing this. So the state will set basic standards. We want to make sure that dollars that are going from the state are being used well and wisely and in ways that will move people from homelessness into permanent stability and permanent housing, because that's the goal. So we have basic state outlines, and then we will set up a series of regional organizations, no more than one per county. And in some cases, those organizations will have multiple counties under their direction. And we will ask them to do an assessment of what their needs are and to write a local plan. And assuming that they are able to demonstrate to the state that they're proposing to fund the right things and that they've taken into consideration the many different factors that they should in order to create a local plan, then they will get funding to make investments in shelters, in case management, in whatever kinds of services they want to do.
Okay. Do you have an idea? If your legislation, you know, ultimately gets passed and signed by the governor, I mean, do you have, and be as general as you want to be, do you have kind of a number in mind as to if this passes, you know, this is sort of how many people we can serve above where we're serving now?
Well, not quite, actually. What we're aiming to do is really just to keep the current system that we put together in this pretty frenetic way over the last 4 years stable. We also include in that some facilities that were in place long before the state got into this work, but that need some state support. So we are asking in the context of the bill for this biennium for $217 million. And that, by our calculations, that will replicate what we invested in the shelter system in the biennium of 23-24, the current biennium. Our goal is, frankly, not to put a lot of money into growing or expanding the system. At this point, we need to stabilize it. We need to make sure that we have consistent practices and that we are getting outcomes, a report of outcomes that makes sense to us.
Okay. Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Oregon Representative Pam Marsh. She's a Democrat from Ashland. We're talking about her bill, House Bill 3644. Regional coordination, you know, is it that when you were kind of looking at this, I mean, and I wonder too, this also might fit in with the idea that sometimes, you know, we have this sort of rural-urban divide in Oregon. Are there kind of best practices from shelters in certain counties that you looked at, and then you looked at other counties and says, well, maybe they need more help? Are you sharing different ideas, or is this legislation helping to kind of coalesce, you know, kind of what works and what doesn't with regard to the shelter system?
Absolutely. And that's a really important question. That's why the state is retaining in the legislation our standards in terms of what's eligible for a state investment. That doesn't mean a local community might not choose to invest different kind of dollars in a program that that doesn't fit within the state parameters they make. And we expect that the state's going to be a significant partner in all of this, but a community that's really invested in homelessness response is probably going to need to find other sources of funding as well.
Okay.
So for the money, though, that we are putting in, again, we've outlined what we think best practices are, and they aim toward trying to provide people with enough stability in their shelter system, with the case management that comes with them, to be able to address some of the issues that are in their lives and move toward permanent housing.
I wanted to ask you too, because I know this is such an important issue for you, and it's obviously a very important issue for the governor. Talk a little bit about sort of coordination between the legislature and the governor's office on this issue of lack of affordable housing and homelessness in general. Talk about how the legislative and executive branch kind of are working together to try and tackle this, you know, what I think is many people feel is sort of the biggest crisis in our state.
Well, on the homelessness front, we are working side by side. Really, the governor and I convened this effort that has resulted in the draft legislation. The governor came to the first and last meetings. Her staff was there in the thick of it at all times. And she spoke when we had our hearing at the House Housing and Homelessness Committee. So she is deeply involved in the homelessness. She's a person who loves policy and detail. So if you ever deal with Governor Kotek, she will ask you about the details of what it is you're pitching to her, because she remembers and she cares, which is pretty impressive. She's got a prodigious mind for policy. We are coordinating similarly on the housing production front, which is kind of the other piece of this. We know that we've got to get people off the street and stabilize them. We also have to increase our supply of affordable housing. The data shows us over and over again that the chief determinant of homelessness is really the availability of affordable housing. And then if you're on the street and you have additional issues that you also have to deal with, perhaps mental health issues, as an example, or lack of work, clearly your ability to compete for what is a limited housing supply just gets that much more difficult. So we're also working hard on the housing production front, and we frankly do coordinate in a very close way. The governor has had several bills that have come through my committee in addition to the shelter bill. We have a large infrastructure bill that her team put together that would put $100 million toward infrastructure that is paired with specific housing proposals. That's a huge step forward. We're working some more on middle housing. We had this week a bill on the governor's proposal to list and sell, if there's a willing buyer, who state surplus lands for the development of housing. So we're constantly in touch with each other and talking about, those are just the governor's ideas, and then legislators have a lot of our ideas of our own, but we're constantly working back and forth because we're aligned on the shelter agenda.
And maybe this is more pie in the sky, but I'm wondering, you know, has it ever been discussed, this idea of maybe, someone at maybe in the executive branch or someone, an office created by the legislature, almost like a czar of homelessness and housing affordability? I don't know if that just gums up the works, but I just didn't know if the idea of elevating some sort of an office that just looks at this issue and looks for solutions, is that something that has been talked about? Is that something that might be too bureaucratic? I just kind of wanted to get your read on that.
Well, we don't exactly have a housing czar, but we definitely have elevated the issue in the way that you described. The governor has set up a housing production office, which is in the governor's domain. Mm-hmm. Housing production office will do a number of different functions, but essentially to be a partner in local governments in the development of housing. We also have someone within that office whose job it is to coordinate state agency response to housing so that we can ensure we've got a housing proposal going forward that has some issues for DEQ or some issues for the state housing office or some issues with land use, that we are all rowing in the same direction. We want housing to get on the ground. And we understand that sometimes it's been a big issue for developers to have to deal with multiple state agencies that may not be fully coordinated. So we're working on that front. And the State Housing Production Office, which is just in the process of getting set up, I think you'll start to see will be extremely helpful in sort of driving that housing agenda.
Okay. I know you communicate a lot with your constituents, and I know that you have heard there's a cynical side to all this that kind of has said something like, boy, housing and homelessness has been an issue for quite some time, and it doesn't seem to be getting better. What do you tell your constituents about not only the work you're doing, but just overall, where have you seen progress being made? And what do you tell constituents about, well, hold on a second, you know, if you really look at what's happening, let me tell you about the steps and the improvement we've been making towards this issue.
I think the first thing you have to do is really make a connection between the lack of affordable housing inventory and the presence of people on the street, because that's what the economists who have looked at this issue actually tell us. Sometimes I think it's easy to lose faith when you look at the number of people and the size of the problem that we have. But understanding kind of what the derivation of that is, I think, helps people to also double down on the need for housing within our communities. I think on specifically on the homelessness front, what I talk about is the fact that for any individual, we can be effective in moving people's stability, but that is a process that takes time and it can require a significant investment. One of the projects that I was deeply involved in was the setup of Project Turnkey, which I described earlier. Mm-hmm. We have a Project Turnkey in Ashland that takes in people low barrier. That means these are people who have maybe a lot of problems in their lives that have to be addressed. We give them the opportunity to have a room, to shut the door, to have their own bathroom, to put their stuff down without fear of someone taking it or losing it, and to take a deep breath. People who are able to stay in that situation for 6 months are much closer to being able to address their issues. But this is what it takes. It takes an investment of time to help people very often. I mean, there are some people who have lost housing immediately. They can immediately go into another setting because they haven't been on the street for a long time. But for someone who's chronically homeless, who's been on the street for a long time, adjusting and addressing issues that may be barriers is an investment. And it's an investment that we need to understand can work. And it's also an investment we need to pay for. So that's what I say.
Yeah. We're talking in the shadow of what's going on at the federal government. And we're seeing, you know, whole-scale layoffs, whole-scale cutting of departments. Are you concerned that what's happening at the federal government could sort of permeate downwards to what you're doing at the state with regard to tackling this issue of lack of affordable housing and homelessness?
Oh, absolutely. It's very frightening. Specifically in the homelessness realm, it's not clear what's going to happen to some of HUD's programs. You know, our homeless services get some base funding from HUD for our continuums of care, which oversee regional homeless systems. If that goes away, that it's not a ton of money, but where does that, you know, it creates a big gap that we have to deal with. If general money for housing development, and again, there hasn't been a ton of that in recent years, but there's been some. We have gotten support for services for our community action agencies, which do things like help people with basic services, basic safety net needs. Every dollar that doesn't come to us from the federal government creates a hole in a pretty fragile system to begin with. So it's very scary. And that's just one piece. You know, there's all kinds of other social services or healthcare cuts that could be devastating for people who are living on the edge.
Yeah, yeah. Representative, my last question for you is sort of, you know, to kind of close this out in terms of what are you optimistic about with regard to not only your bill, but certainly talk about that, but what are you optimistic about in terms of this, in terms of the legislature and the governor's office, tackling and ultimately winning this sort of existential crisis of homelessness that we're seeing in Oregon?
So one of the things that I am very optimistic about is our ability to define and agree on the problem. And that's an issue. That's an exercise that we struggle with in some realms. On the housing realm, we have a very bipartisan effort moving forward, understanding that we need more units on the ground and willing, at least to this point, to invest monies in doing that to the extent that we are able. If we can, and we have a governor who is laser focused on this issue. So if we can keep laser focused, if we can keep moving forward and keep aligned, I think we have tremendous, there's tremendous hope for the work.
All right. Oregon Representative Pam Marsh, a Democrat from Ashland, who chairs the House Committee on Housing and Homelessness. Really appreciate your time and all the words that you've said about your efforts and coordination with the governor. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Michael. I really appreciate being here and your interest.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, you'll hear about another piece of legislation that aims to address another challenge in our state, gun violence and gun-related suicide. We'll talk with members of the state Senate who want to increase wait times and add more restrictions on deadly firearms. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record on KLCC. Thanks for listening.